Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
It's our privilege to have you tuning in to Words of Grace today, and I do hope and trust that you're all doing well. You are in my prayers as we endure this present national crisis with the COVID-19 coronavirus, and I hope and pray that you have not been negatively affected by this virus, though I know that many people, either from a health perspective or an economic perspective, have been affected who are listening. So we trust in God at all times. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And that beloved passage in Philippians chapter 4 has more to do with learning how to be abased or to abound than it does experiencing great victories in our life. So we know that no matter what we are to face in this world, the Lord is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And in the midst of these trying times, He is an ever-present help in time of need to His beloved children. I'd love to hear from you, and I would love to even pray with you if you find yourself feeling anxious or needing to talk, needing a word from Scripture throughout this trial. You can go to flintriverpbc.org, flintriverpbc.org, and find information about how to contact us here at Words of Grace. Our broadcast for today is entitled Wisdom for the Moment. Now, we all know our current predicament, and I think that it's safe to say that we need divine wisdom as much or more now than at many other times in our life. We're simply facing an uncertain time, and I would even say to us, those who are living in the world at present, for many of us, this is unprecedented. We've never faced a pandemic before. We've never shut down our economy before. We've never had a shelter in place order given by the governor before. Now, while this is all new to us, it isn't new to human history. Our planet and even our country has faced many pandemics in our history. I was reading just the other day, our church minutes here at Flint River Primitive Baptist Church, and couldn't help but notice that there were times when we were unable to meet because of an impassable river. There were times when there was no sermon because the preacher fell ill and could not make it to church that weekend. There were times when our church could not meet because of Union occupation and the fighting of the Civil War around them. But it was interesting to note, and I may have mentioned this on the radio once before, that we were unable to meet during the smallpox outbreaks and also during the Spanish flu outbreak of 1918. I was speaking with another pastor friend of mine from Northwest Arkansas who read a note in his church minutes that from October 1918 to January 1919, his church did not meet because of the Spanish flu epidemic. And that was the only note in the church minutes about it. We did not meet from this day until this day because of the flu epidemic. So these things have happened in the past, and it's interesting to look back on church history, those of us who pastor very old churches, to see when this sort of thing has happened before and how our churches handled it before. We all know our current predicament, the current trouble that is going on in the world around us, and so we desperately need the wisdom of the Scripture as we go about our day-to-day lives. Now, I'm going to share with you today some of the Scriptures that I have been trying to remember myself as of late. And as we begin to share these to you, I will say as a preface or a disclaimer that some of this is easier said than done. It's easy for me to read the Word of God to you. It's far harder, it's far more difficult for me to put what I'm reading to you into practice. And so this is something that takes work, as discipleship is. It's a discipline. It's something that we are to work to achieve each and every day. We all have to work at this. Even if we know it, if we've heard it 100 times, if we've heard what I'm going to share with you 1,000,000 times, we have to work at it. And so I would challenge us all to work at the passages, the principles that we share with you today. I'm going to turn to the book of Proverbs, and all of our thoughts today, as far as Scripture is concerned, will be taken from passages from the book of Proverbs. And we've done this with you before at various times, looking into the Proverbs for biblical wisdom. To introduce the Proverbs to you, if you're unfamiliar with them, Proverbs are short, pithy statements that pack a lot of punch. There's a lot of wisdom in the Proverbs, and they're written in such a way that just one verse conveys a great lesson for us. It might be that it incorporates humor. It might be that it incorporates irony. But the Proverbs, each and every one of the Proverbs contained in the book of Proverbs, give us divine wisdom for navigating life on planet Earth. And so we're going to read with you some of these Proverbs today, and certainly you could spend month after month reading and studying the Proverbs, and we'll only be sharing a few of them with you on the broadcast. So this is by no means exhaustive as a study of the Proverbs. It isn't intended to be, but rather this is an attempt to share some wisdom that I believe would help us, especially in our day of social media and a politically charged atmosphere. God's Word speaks to our situation. It is always relevant. Some 2,000 years after the completion of the canon, God's Word, it is still relevant to our lives today because it has been inspired for us by an eternal God with all wisdom, all knowledge, and because He loves us, He has given us His Word, and it is a roadmap for us in our life. The first point that we want to share with you today is found in Proverbs chapter 1, which is right after the introduction of the book of Proverbs, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding. That's the intent of the book of Proverbs. You see in chapter 1, it's written by Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, in verse 1. And several times in chapter 1 and elsewhere in the book of Proverbs, you see that Proverbs is written from a father to a son. So you could think of this as fatherly advice, wise counsel to a son. You see that in verse 8. My son, hear thou the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. My son, if sinners entice thee, verse 10, consent thou not. So this is wisdom from a fatherly perspective to a son. And certainly as we consider it being divinely inspired, God breathed, it is instruction to us as the sons of God from our heavenly Father. The first point that we consider today is that we need to walk in the fear of God. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother, for they, the instruction of his father and his mother, shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. And I don't believe chains there has reference to chains of bondage, but chains as in gold, something that is beautiful, something that is a symbol of or indicative of wealth in the world. Honoring God's word is a wealth to us in a spiritual sense. But as we navigate coronavirus America, we need to, first of all, walk in the fear of God. Now, if I walk in the fear of God, it's going to change the way that I view myself. It's going to change the way that I view others, and it's going to change the way I interact and the way I think. If I fear God, I'm not going to be full of myself, right? And so, as a person who fears God, I'm going to think soberly about myself. I'm going to respect others. I'm going to respect authority. I'm going to mind how I speak to people and about people. If I fear God, it's going to change my behavior in every aspect of human life. As a God-fearing person, I'm not going to behave in certain ways because I honor God, I respect God, and I have a healthy fear of God. I don't want to fall under the chastening hand of God. I know that if I do certain things in the world, God's not going to let me get away with it. He's going to discipline me. He's going to chasten me as a son because He scourges every son whom He receiveth. So because I fear God, my walk is going to be different. And as we navigate this precarious situation in the world today, I believe it's important for us to, number one, fear God and walk in the fear of God. And by the fear of God, I don't have reference to walking around afraid that God's going to strike us with lightning, but this reverential fear that every single godly character in the Bible had. In fact, in the book of Romans chapter 3, we read that there is no fear of God before the eyes of the unregenerate. So this is a trait that is only found in those who are born of the Spirit of God, and the Bible always commends people who fear God. In Acts chapter 10, there was a man named Cornelius who feared God with all his house, and God's word commended him. God's grace had changed him, and because of that, God sent to him a preacher named the Apostle Peter. But we need to walk in the fear of God. Point number two, what we do, what you do, your behavior, your actions, make a difference in the outcome of your day-to-day life. Now, this flies in the face of some of the more fatalistic philosophies of the world that say whatever is to be will be. And certainly if God has ordained and predestinated something, such as our salvation, well, that will happen because God has seen fit. He has ordained it, and he works his will among the army of heaven, the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? But that doesn't mean that everything in this life is scripted. And it doesn't mean that, for instance, there's a time appointed for us to die, and it doesn't matter how I live. I'm only going to die at that one moment in human history. And so I can go stand in the middle of 70-mile-an-hour traffic in the interstate and fear no evil. I can drink alcohol and drive. I'm not going to wreck. I can be promiscuous and never have a disease. I can play Russian roulette and never shoot myself in the face. That's not the biblical message. The biblical message is that what we do day to day makes a difference in the outcomes that we receive in our personal lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." So if I keep God's law in my heart and in my mind, it's going to add length of days to my life. And in my days, rather than having chaos and destruction, what am I going to have in my life? I'm going to have more peace. And so if you follow the laws of God and you keep the commandments of God and you hide them in your heart and you keep them from your heart, then your days will be lengthened and they will be days that are full of peace. Now, what happens if I reject the law of God? What happens if I forsake the law of God? Well, I can cut short my days. Foolish living, and this is all through the Proverbs, foolish living cuts short our life. Now, you might be thinking, well, isn't God sovereign? Doesn't God have the final say on everything? Yes, but God's sovereignty, as a doctrine that we affirm, does not mean what the fatalist understands it to mean, that everything is unalterably scripted and there is no liberty of the creature. We are made in the image of God, and one of the divine attributes that God saw fit to give us is a will to execute and to choose what we do each and every day. Now, to be very clear, a person's will is only as good as his nature. And so until we're born of the Spirit of God, our will only chooses that which is evil. And there are many scriptures that teach this. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Many points in the book of 1 John speak about him that sinneth, and it has reference to someone who only sins, being not born again. That's all their nature chooses if we are not born of the Spirit of God. But we do most certainly have a will as a byproduct of being made in the image of God. We execute our will. We choose what we do each and every day. The word choose occurs in the Bible. And based upon the choices we make, our lives can have peace or chaos, and we can either lengthen or shorten our days. And in general, wise living, according to the law of God, the commandments of God, they lengthen our days. And so what we do makes a difference in the outcome of our lives. Recently, in the midst of the COVID-19 panic, I've seen a quote from General Stonewall Jackson bouncing around memes in social media, and it was something to the effect of that he believes that God has so orchestrated the world that he has an appointed time to die, and he was not afraid in battle, which is commendable for a general. But because of that, he would stand on the front lines as a stone wall, and that's why he got the name, the nickname Stonewall Jackson. The ironic thing is, he died as a result of friendly fire. The decisions that we make affect our lives, and we should never believe that our lives are so scripted by God that we have no choice to decide what we do each and every day. What we do, again, makes a difference in the outcome, both in terms of peace and longevity of life. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we are to rely on God's guidance. We are to follow his leadership and He is always working in the world. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, Proverbs 3:5 says. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God will make our path straight. He'll direct our path. He will lead us, and he will guide us. I take great comfort in the fact that God is working in the world today. Now, we have rebuked fatalism a moment ago. Let's rebuke deism now. God is active in the world, and he's working his will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, Daniel 4:35. God is actively working in the lives of his children. God is leading. God is guiding. God is opening doors. God is shutting doors. God is blessing. God is chastening. And God is thwarting the plans of the wicked, including Satan, his angels, and all of the wicked people of this world, the sons of Belial. God is active in the world. And so we are to follow his leadership, and we are to trust in him and submit to him, and he guides us as our Father, as also our good shepherd, as we walk through this world. And as we're facing some very unprecedented situations in our lives, remember that God is on his throne. He loves us. He cares for us. We need to be asking for and looking for his leadership in our personal lives. We need to rely on God's guidance. Number four, and this particular word of advice for the present moment is one that I do not have down pat, and it is simply to watch our mouths, to get a control of our tongues. Last year, we spoke through the book of James here on Words of Grace, and we talked about the danger of the tongue. Behold, what great a fire a little matter kindleth. We can cause great trouble in the world simply by speaking. And so under this heading of watching what we say and governing, controlling our mouths, there's three proverbs that I want to share with you. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath. While we're sheltering at home with our loved ones, remember that. A soft answer turns away wrath. There are stresses and tensions in our homes today that we haven't fully dealt with in our lives. 5 to 6 weeks in the home with the people that you birthed and the person to whom you're married, well, that can be very stressful. And so I believe we need this biblical reminder that a soft answer turns away wrath if we can be kind and patient and gentle with each other and control that part of us, our mouth, what we say, then our homes will be more peaceful than they would be otherwise. Proverbs 18:13 is so very relevant in our day of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Proverbs 18:13 says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. There are a lot of things on the internet that are purported to be true that are false. And sometimes the news media shares things that are false. Sometimes politicians say things that are false. Many times bloggers and political pundits spin things and say things that are false. And sometimes people who make memes, these little statements connected to a picture that you see bouncing around the internet, many times those are misleading. And it would behoove us to not answer a matter before we hear it, to know the truth before we speak and espouse things. I've never hardly been more embarrassed and ashamed than when I said something or posted something online that turned out to be false. And it happens because we are all human. To err is human. We are but flesh. One of the prayers that I have prayed to God throughout recent months is, God, have mercy on us, for we are but flesh. We are but flesh. We are human beings. Lord, we're fallen. We're sinful, and we need your help. We need your grace. Please, dear God, have mercy on us. We often answer a matter before we hear it. Think about all of the synthetic outrage that exists in the world today. And by that, I mean outrage for no reason. There's not a legitimate cause to it, but people are outraged. They spend all day on social media seeing and hearing some new thing, whether it's real or not, and we become so angry at what we hear and what we think, and sometimes it's not even true. And it's much ado about nothing. We should not answer a matter before we hear it. To do so is always folly and shame. This particular proverb Proverbs 18:13 is something that I have reiterated with my children over and over in our home, and they can quote it back to you. In fact, there are times that I will ask them if they've done something wrong because something happened, and I suspect that one of them has done it. And I've actually been replied back to by some of my older children, "Dad, you're answering a matter before you hear it. We didn't do what you think that we did." And so sometimes this passage comes back to me as a parent of children who might be accusing them of something that didn't actually take place. So in controlling our mouth, we don't answer a matter before we hear it. Now, if I'm not going to answer a matter before I hear it, now buckle up, brace yourself, pull up your socks and tighten your belt. Here's a passage that's going to step on every one of our toes, myself included, most of the time. If I'm not answering a matter before I hear it, what do I need to be doing with my words, with my mouth, with what I post online or tweet out on Twitter? Look at Proverbs 17:28. "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." This is commonly paraphrased by saying that it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. But the biblical phrase, the biblical statement, is converse to that. "Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise." If a man stays silent and he appears to be a thinker, as other people are discussing things, he appears to be a wise man. Now, in the Proverbs, counter to this concept, there are passages that talk about a fool uttering all his heart and a fool uttering all his mind. The fool is going to say whatever he thinks when he thinks it. He has no inner dialogue and no filter. He's just going to say what he feels like saying in the moment. But it's wisdom to, as Paul would say, study to be quiet. And it is even perceived as wise when a fool is able to keep his peace. And so as we, under point number four, work on watching what we say and how we use our words, whether audibly or in text, remember that even a fool, when he opens not his mouth, is perceived as wise. And so that tells us that there can be great folly in many words. We might want to consider being people of fewer words. And when I say we, I mean me. I might ought to consider being a person of fewer words. Point number five, find good counsel, because not everything you hear is true, and not every opinion that you hear is worth implementing in your life. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22, and Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6 all contain a rendition of this same passage. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Now, let me be very clear. This is not endorsing groupthink. And by groupthink, I mean when you have the gathering together of the proverbial echo chamber where everyone has the same opinion and they come together and all make some decision based upon all of their preconceived biases. But this is talking about biblical counsel. In the multitude of good, godly, wise counselors, there is safety. And where there is no counsel, the people fall. There is a detriment to having a lack of counsel in our lives. This is why God gives us pastors, and it's why God gave us the Word of God. Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed." Disappointed there means thwarted and prevented, hindered. We can make purposes in the world, but without good counsel, we don't achieve the goals that we set, you might say. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So we can be more successful in our lives, the things that we set out to do, by having a multitude of good counselors, receiving good advice for the purposes that we set out to achieve. Proverbs 24 and verse 6, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." In this passage, it applies not to purposes or things that you would like to do or the general benefit of the people, but in this passage, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The context is war. Solomon was a king, and there were times that Solomon had to go and make war against his enemies. How valuable, then, is it when you have to face a battle to have good wisdom from wise counselors in your life. Perhaps as we obey what God's word tells us to do and pray for our leaders and for all those who are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, perhaps one of the things that we can pray for the president and the governor and the mayor is that they have wise counselors as they make the decisions that they are attempting to make right now in our present day and at any other time in the course of our nation's history. Pray that our leaders would have wise counselors, because in the multitude of counselors, wise counselors that is, there is safety. Now, the last proverb that we want to share with you today, and I believe it's very relevant to what we're dealing with in the world, Proverbs 2:11, "Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." Discretion shall preserve thee. Discretion is a word that can mean care. And so how we would perhaps reword this in a contemporary way, taking great caution in your life, being careful in the 2020 sense of being careful, not the Philippians be careful for nothing sense of being careful, but the modern contemporary usage of that word, which is caution. When we are cautious, when we are careful, it preserves us. Now, how can that apply to our dealings with people today? If I'm cautious in the way I talk, I'm not going to offend someone. If I'm cautious in what I share, I'm not going to answer a matter before I hear it and run the risk of saying something that's factually inaccurate. If I am cautious and careful when I go out into public and there's a pandemic and I wear a mask and I wash my hands and I don't touch my face, that will preserve me. Being careful and being cautious even preserves us as we face the threat of a deadly illness. Being cautious and careful preserves us as we're driving down the road. It preserves our marriages. It preserves our employment. To be people of caution and care, to be people who are discreet, as the Word of God would say, discretion shall preserve thee, is something that will lengthen our days and it will be a blessing to us in the world. And so as Solomon says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Discretion, being careful and cautious, shall preserve thee. May we be people who walk in the fear of God, who are careful to rely on God's leadership, controlling what we say and the influences that we have at this time. I pray these words are a blessing to you as you navigate life in the midst of a pandemic. Again, I'm Ben Winslet, thanking you for listening to Words of Grace, inviting you to tune in again next week at this time. Until then, may the Lord's richest blessings be yours, is my prayer.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.